Welcome, everyone, and thanks for being with me this next hour. You're listening to Everyday Astrology with C.A. Brooks on Transformational Tuesdays here on Win2 Radio, where we're changing the way we listen to the world. This is March 18th, 2025, and on today's show, we are going to look at the week ahead, including the vernal, you know, aka spring equinox, which is the time when the sun enters Aries, the first sign of the zodiac. But, you know, as I look at what we're going to talk about today, we're going to talk about a number of things. I'll tell you what flashed through my mind last night as I was going through some things is the Ed Sullivan Show. Now, I don't know how many of you are actually old enough to remember Ed Sullivan. It was a variety show that was every Sunday night. And of course, in my mind, the standout was that the Beatles appeared on that show in February of 1964. So to me, that will ever be forever etched into my mind. But the reason I was thinking about the Ed Sullivan Show is because he would come out at the beginning of this hour show, and many times he would say, "Tonight we have a really, really big show." And I just, even as a kid, I thought, well, he said that last week. You know, or he said that the week before. And, you know, we talk in hyperbole so often. You know, everything's a really, really big show, or this is a really, really big thing in astrology. And I'm so aware that when we do that over and over, it just starts losing its meaning. And yet, I do believe, like in the last 6 months, we have just had some phenomenal things going on, astrologically speaking. And it continues. And in the next, you know, 2 weeks, we've got some really, really big stuff going on. So I'm going to ask you to just kind of go with that and not see it as, oh, she says that every single week. And in some ways I do, but no, I'm telling you, and I've been telling you, 2025 and 2026 are really unusual, at least in my mind, and I've been studying astrology for about 40 years. There are some things that are happening, and I think it's worth really at least understanding that, thinking about it, getting into the feeling of it, if only because it gives some credibility to the idea, yeah, if you feel like things are changing and they're changing quickly, or, hey, you know, I've never seen this in my lifetime or something like that, well, you're right. And once again, I always like to, you know, put in the disclaimer, those planets don't do anything. They are literally just symbols of mass consciousness. So it's not that Saturn is meeting up with anybody, or it's not that the Sun and Neptune are meeting up this week. It's not that they're doing anything, but they reflect our consciousness. Just like lots of different systems that, you know, and we buy into systems all the time because it's what helps us feel like we understand what's going on in life. So we all have different systems that we use. And for me, I, you know, when I stumbled across astrology, it made sense to me. And even if I didn't understand why it reflects mass consciousness, it really seems to. So even though I don't want to blame Mercury retrograde or Venus retrograde or any of the planets for anything in particular, it's not about blame. It's about maybe understanding how it's just a symbol. It's telling us like the weather report. And speaking of the weather, we have major winds here in Nevada this morning. And I know across the nation, Mark had said something on his show yesterday about the wind just like blowing his little baby, you know, his dog, off its feet. And that's the kind of wind we have today. And I was telling Serena, my producer, that I'd been out in the yard this morning with my dog, and it's so dusty and dirty as everything is blowing around. And then I came in and I thought, oh my gosh, I feel like I can't even talk. So I will try to not cough as I am doing the show today. But if I need to stop for a second and take a drink or cough, you know, I'm going to do that. But hopefully I've got a lot of that stuff kind of cleared out by now. So here again, getting back to this big, big stuff. Forgive me with the repetition, but please just try to ignore it and say, you know what, there is stuff going on. And in terms of this particular year, like I said, the next 2 weeks, we've got a lot of stuff going on. I mean, this week, and we'll talk about it, the sun makes its very last conjunction with Neptune in Pisces, and that's for our lifetime. And a conjunction is where two planets appear from planet Earth, like they're sitting right next door to each other. Now, of course, they're not, but they are sharing what I call the same astrological space, meaning that they're at the very same degree in Pisces. And when I say this is the last time in our lifetimes, it's because when Neptune moves into Aries, which it's going to do on the 30th of this month, so the end of next week, then for the next 12 or 14 times that the sun goes around annually and it hooks up with Neptune, that's always going to be in Aries. And so, you know, there again, that is going to be a significant shift. The sun represents our ego. And so there again, it doesn't matter if you're not a sun sign Aries or a sun sign Pisces, but the ego, at least during the, you know, let's say a couple of days period, or specifically one day, is when across the world, the symbolism is that our egos are associated with that particular sign. That may be how we're demonstrating. And is it fire? Is it moving really quickly? Is it air? So it's very mental. Is it water? So that it's very sensitive. So it affects us all in one way or another, and some people more than others. I mean, you've undoubtedly noticed that as you've listened to this show and some of the other astrologers from 12listen.com and on 12 Radio, you know that it affects us very differently because of our charts. And like those moons, like I know Mark here again, he just loves those Scorpio moons, right? Well, a Scorpio moon, which is we're under that influence for the next few days, those moons can be very intense. It's water. It's psychological. Now, some people go, oh, I just love this. This is when revelations come. This is when I have all kinds of insights. Other people go, okay, enough with the water. Let's move on. Let's get this more mental. Let's quit going so psychological. And so it's no wonder if you look at a person's chart and you know where their moon is, or you know some other things about their chart, it's no wonder that some people really like certain kinds of moon energy. And of course, the moon energy is there for 2.5 days, and then it shifts. It goes into something else. But we're all influenced in various ways. And I've told you before, sometimes, you know, some things will happen and it's like, oh, wow, yeah, that happened. I didn't even notice. I mean, I truly, even as an astrologer, it just didn't even faze me that day. I almost forgot that it was going on. And then other times I'm like, oh my God, do I feel this particular energy going on? So I think it's just fun to talk about these things, not get all caught up in them, but to talk about them. So then maybe, like on Wednesday, maybe you plan your schedule a little bit differently, depending on that particular aspect of the sun meeting up with Neptune, because that is like this incredible influx of intuition, creativity, imagination. It's swimming in that Piscean ocean. And so for some people, they go, oh yeah, I'm going to block off that afternoon. I'm going to do my music. You know, I'm going to do something really creative, or I'm going to do some spiritual discipline. I'm going to do something, you know, maybe I'm going to journal or get together with friends, and we're really going to go into some, you know, interesting, you know, either creative projects or talking or whatever. So yes, we can plan those things if we want to, or maybe we can just be aware of it. Because like, for instance, on Wednesday afternoon, when the sun does meet up with Neptune, you know, I would say that is a time when I'm thinking, okay, you know, if you really want to be organized, if you want to meet a schedule, you're going to have to be a little more disciplined. And maybe I say, I don't want to be disciplined. I really do just want to go with the flow that afternoon. But that wouldn't be an afternoon that I would plan something very, very scheduled or very, very organized. It might be great for talking to people, doing some readings, you know, because I can just imagine what the messages will be flowing on Wednesday afternoon. But there again, you know, some people go, oh, you know, I don't care. Or, you know, at work, maybe if you have something really creative you need to do, or that it would really help to have intuition, maybe you want to do it Wednesday afternoon. But maybe that's not the best time for a really rational conversation. But then again, you never know, because maybe you can introduce a little of that energy. So that's what's going on this week, along with we also have a spring equinox, which means the sun is moving into Aries. And that's not just the beginning of a new sun cycle, but literally it's the beginning of the new astrological year. It truly is. So, you know, I always think there's three New Years. You have the New Year's in January, the New Year's for the Chinese Spring Festival, and then we also have the astrological New Year. So that's what's coming up on Thursday as that sun moves into Aries, and it's going to do it at 2:01 a.m. That is Pacific time. Now, just to kind of give you a glimmer, give you a peek of what's going on next week, which is why I say, man, we're just in the midst of some really big things going on these couple of weeks. Both Mercury and Venus, the planet of communication and thinking, and the planet of values, in which right now that's what we're doing. We're really looking at what's important to us. Well, those two planets are moving in retrograde patterns. So once again, from planet Earth, it looks like they're moving backwards. Well, both of them are in Aries this week, and they're going to re-enter, moving backwards. They're going to go back into Pisces next week. Venus is going to do that on Thursday, March 27th, and Mercury is going to do it on Saturday, March 29th. Now, that's big stuff, but also, here's the really big stuff. Also on Saturday, there's a new moon at 9 Aries, and it's also a solar eclipse. Because remember those eclipses, they come in pairs. Now, every once in a while, there's actually three, because there'll be like a new moon, full moon, new moon, and they're all eclipses, or the opposite, you know, it can start with a full moon, you know, whatever. But usually they're in pairs. So we already had that full moon lunar eclipse. Well, not this coming Saturday, but the Saturday after that. So in the next week, we're going to have a solar eclipse. So like right now, we're kind of in that, what I consider a valley of maybe fertility or messages coming through, because we're between those two eclipses. And that, so that's going to be a very powerful new moon, new beginnings with a solar eclipse, a time to reset, reboot, get something going. And we may be thinking of those things, or we may be in patterns this week, you know, feeling very much so like we're releasing things or really changing up some things because we're preparing for that. So see, that's big. We have usually two or three sets of eclipses in a year. This is the first set we've seen this year, but it's important, astrologically speaking. And then on Sunday, March 30th, please cue the trumpets, because that's when Neptune is going to leave Pisces and enter Aries. So see, next week, we got some big stuff going on. And so even though we have that, you know, sun moving into Aries this week, which is really important, and we have that sun meeting up with Neptune, which I think is a really big deal, we've got a lot of really, really big things. Okay. So, you know, just stay on your toes, or rather, just stay aware. Just pay attention to what you're feeling and that sort of thing. And by the way, we will, you know, I am so excited for next week's show and some beyond that, just talking about the possibilities of Neptune moving in Aries. Because unless you guys are like really old, 164 years or something, none of you have ever experienced in this particular lifetime, Neptune being in Aries. And so this is going to be an adventure. And that's what I mean also about energy really shifting. You know, it may not be the first day that it happens, or maybe even the first week, but it's like, it's a feeling. It's like it moves cultural icons. It moves the zeitgeist of what's going on in the world and in the universe. So it's going to be a very exciting time. It truly is. And so, of course, we'll talk about it forever. You know, just like we've been talking about Pluto moving to Aquarius, which was also a really, really big thing. So there again, just think about it. The zeitgeist of our lifetime is really shifting. It's changing and it's exciting. You know, it's an opportunity for growth. It's an opportunity for greater awareness, and it's certainly an opportunity to really dive into the sign of Aries. you know, there again, that's what happens. All of a sudden you think that's all you hear, Aries, Aries, Aries. Well, that's how it works. So one other call out, I know I go through a lot of things on the show. Many of these are actually written down. They're in Mark's Power Peak, which is that weekly online newsletter that you can subscribe to for free. So if you're, you know, you can always go back and listen to this show in the archives at 12radio.com, you know, by hitting on that on demand tab. And you can listen to a lot of our shows on 12radio. They're all archived 6 months worth on 12radio.com. But if you go, hey, I just want to see this, almost always these dates, this information in one way or another is in Mark's Power Peak. So, you know, I encourage you to read that. But I also just want you to know, don't freak out if you don't have those dates. I mean, you know, they're easy to find, and I'll repeat them many times, especially when it's a big deal. So let's get moving and let's look at the cosmic dance for this week, March 17th. And of course, what I want to focus on first is the Sun's conjunction with Neptune on Wednesday. And you know, one thing I'd say is leading up to it is I mentioned that we've got a Scorpio moon, and that tends to be a very deeply intense, sensitive, intuitive, and sometimes moody kind of energy. It's a water sign. Now, I don't know if you've noticed that, but boy, yesterday, I sure did. I mean, there were times when I felt like the energy as, you know, because the moon, as it goes through that cycle, as it transits through a sign, of course, it makes all these connections to the planets. And when I say connections, they're really geometric connections. And some of them tend to be easy, and some of them tend to be challenging, and some of them are just downright, okay, I just need this energy to move. And thankfully, they do, because the moon moves pretty quickly. But, you know, I even noticed it just felt like highs and lows and all over the place. And there were times literally, you know what I've said, you need a spiritual toolbox. You need those things that will ground you, that will bring you back to yourself. And that's kind of what I was feeling yesterday. Because, you know, at first I felt like I was like a little paper cup being blown on the ocean and just crashing into the waves and then crashing up against the shore. And I go, wait a minute, wait a minute. I don't like this feeling. Now, I may not control my emotions, because most of the time we can't. Remember, those feelings are things that come over us, but we can control how we act and how we behave and our attitudes towards what's going on. So one thing I did is I just removed myself from the situation in which I was feeling like, oh my God, I just can't handle any more of this. It was easy enough to just remove myself from the situation. And that actually is something I want to stress for this particular week, because when the Sun, as it keeps moving closer and closer to Neptune, and the truth is, it's really close to Neptune now. It doesn't have to be perfect like it's going to be on Wednesday. But what happens oftentimes is we become incredibly sensitive, you know, incredibly maybe empathic, or we're literally picking up, soaking up, you know how they call Pisces the psychic sponge, we're soaking up the energy of whatever the environment is that we're in. Now, some people have better boundaries than others. And here again, if you've got a lot of Pisces energy in your chart, or a lot of Cancer or Scorpio, if you have a lot of water, then guess what? You know, it's like you sing to that energy. You totally identify with that energy. So it may be more difficult for you. But once again, and you know, there's one thing I do not subscribe to, and this may or may not be fair, but I just say, you know what? We don't need to get into a place where we go, oh my God, you know, I'm so sensitive and the world is so toxic and I just can't do it. No, you know what? It's sort of like keep your own responsibility. And remember, if you don't know how to work on boundaries, then learn how to work on boundaries. And by the way, I always like to tout Kelly Whetstone for that. She's one of the best person on boundaries that I know. And I say best in that her teaching. She just has some incredible classes on maintaining, creating and maintaining personal boundaries. And there again, we're not talking about defensiveness. We're talking about boundaries. But You know, if you are a person and you go, yeah, I just can't hold my boundaries around my family, or I can't hold my boundaries around this person or in this situation, then if possible this week, remove yourself from that situation. Now, if you can't, then there again, I suggest you really work on a spiritual toolbox. How can you come into a situation? Maybe it's a work situation and you don't have a choice. I mean, you need to be in the meeting. Okay, what can you do differently? How can you have a boundary and not absorb an energy that feels really challenging or difficult for you? These, you know, and these are lessons in life. I mean, we create our strength. It's like strength training. So that is something to keep in mind really throughout the week, throughout your life, but particularly this week with the sun, like literally kind of melding its energy with that very spiritual, sensitive, vulnerable kind of Neptune energy. I mean, Neptune is highly associated with our intuition and our psychic abilities. It's what allows us. Neptune is that planet that is ethereal. And so it allows us to understand a different kind of life. This is non-material. This is the side of life in which we are truly one with everything else, where there are no real boundaries. You know, that whole, you know, we associate religion. I don't associate with religion with Neptune because I think religion is kind of man-made rules, you know, trying to make spirituality fit into a little box or into a form. But Neptune is that literally part of ourselves that say, I can transcend the physical, material universe. And in fact, so many of the belief systems out there about positive thinking or about the law of attraction, all of those, how do you think those work? It's a very Neptunian thing because it's saying, I can operate on a different level. The material universe is not the only one that's out there. And I can move through the material universe. I can actually alter my experiences, or certainly alter my attitudes towards my experiences, by tapping into the spiritual or the non-physical part of myself. Now, some people would call that the soul. Some people would call it the mind. Being able to step outside of the physical body, even the physical brain, and experience life on a different level. So here again, you know, these are the things that are going on this week. So that, you know, we walk into, so to speak, or maybe I should say swim. We swim into this kind of energy with that Pisces or the Scorpio moon. But even when the Scorpio moon goes into Sagittarius, which it is going, the moon goes into Sagittarius on Wednesday afternoon. In fact, just a few hours before the sun is perfectly conjunct Neptune. So it goes into fire and it's very philosophical. However, that doesn't automatically just shut off that water valve or shut off that spiritual valve. And in fact, then the sun coming into connection with Neptune, I think just keeps that feeling going. And when we think about the ego or the sun melding into the cosmic waters of Neptune, we truly become mystics. And I'd say mystics in the truest sense of the word. Now, we all do it differently, but somehow we're surrendering to the divine mysteries of life. You know, and I want to throw out a few things that, but first I want to give credit to an author named James Braha. He wrote a book called How to Be a Great Astrologer, The Planetary Aspects Explained. Now, I don't know if this book is still in print because the one I've got is pretty old, but I just think it's for, if you're an astrologer, or if you're a person studying astrology, it's one of those reference books that I always go back to and that I highly recommend to people. Because I remember the first time I saw it, and I saw the title, How to Be a Great Astrologer. I don't know. It kind of turned me off. I'm like, what is this? But then when I opened it up and started using it, I was very, very impressed. And I continue to be. I mean, I've had it, I don't know, 30 years. I don't know how long I've had it, but it's a book that I often go back to just to ground myself and or to say, what do other astrologers think of this energy? Because he literally has the book laid out in a sense when he says, you know, the planetary aspects explained, that's exactly what he does. I mean, he talks about what happens when the sun gets together with Neptune. What happens when Mars is square, you know, Pluto? Those kinds of things. Now, it's cookbook astrology from the sense he's giving you all these suggestions of how this energy can manifest. And I think we always have to be careful because there's a wide range, but he's really good at it. And like I said, I love going back to him. So I'm going to share some of the things that he says about the sun and Neptune together in conjunction. But some of these, I mean, I've reworded them or maybe I've added some things. So don't hold, you know, don't take it in a strict sense, but a lot of these ideas are things that I think you would see reflected in his book. So when these two planets come together, it really does make us the equivalent of a psychic or an emotional sponge. We just soak it all in. It's a time of being extremely sensitive to our environments. We may feel more sensitive than usual and more influenced in a good way or possibly in a not so good way by whatever we're listening to. You know, even songs that we hear. Do you ever hear a song or see a picture that brings up a kind of a sad emotion or a time in your life you didn't want to really remember? You know, it, so there again, somebody else would hear the song and say, oh, yes, I remember. I was at a concert and we were just, you know, the moon was shining down on us and we just had this wonderful, you know, this wonderful experience. Somebody else might go, oh my God, that's the night I broke up with my partner or whatever. So we can be really influenced or even debilitated by the environment that we're around. So there again, if all of a sudden you find yourself getting really emotional over something and you're not even sure what it is, it could be something in your environment that you didn't even know you were picking up. And once again, try not to get into that defensive stature going, oh my God, this is so toxic. No, it's not. It's just, I mean, and I'm not saying it's not, but you get what I'm saying. So much of it is how we see it, how we're interpreting it. Like I said, one person loves the song and says, oh my God, it brings back such good feelings. Somebody else hears the song and says, oh my God, I never want to hear that song again. You know, never want to think about that. Okay. So this is a time that we are highly influenced by the environment. So if you're one of those people that you feel like you do get kind of like me, you know, on the ocean and you're just sailing between these two different points and you feel like you have little control, then be proactive. Take the control ahead of time. Or recognize what's going to ground you or make you feel better. And, you know, sometimes it's something really simple like breathing, just taking a moment to reconsider or just even saying to yourself, this too shall pass. Or like sometimes it's maybe having a crystal. And I say that because sometimes just hold, you know, how people like to fidget. You know, those fidget things. When I first saw one, I thought, what the heck is that? And why would somebody want it? But as you notice, when somebody's got one, other people are just fascinated. And sometimes they'll even say, let me touch it. They'll take it out of their hands or something. You know, sometimes we have things that are grounding. So you may have a stone. You may have a crystal. You may have just something, your favorite coffee cup. You may have something that you find is very grounding because it serves as a message or it serves as kind of a life raft or a lifeline to you. So consider that. And there again, if you feel like you're a person that's really sensitive, or let's say this week you've got some touchy-feely things going on,
oh,
creativity, okay? Or this week for doing something really creative. Because, you know, and some of us feel divinely inspired by this energy. Like, oh my gosh, I'm just... feel so close to whatever my spirit is. So we're feeling idealistic. You know, it's a time for dreams and fantasies and vision. But what kind of vision? Because it can be illusions and delusions too. You know, it's possible that, and once again, if you're that kind of person that you know that you easily can slip into something and believe something and just kind of lose your boundaries, then, you know, be advised. And I would say specifically, I always say limit alcohol, drugs, or substances or practices that can negatively influence your state of consciousness. There again, what we're talking oftentimes is environmental factors, but you know what? Just stay away from them. Because, you know, are you the person that drinks and gets really, really sad, drinks and goes way overboard or whatever, then understand that. But here again, kind of going back to that vision, people often associate or sometimes associate the sun with Neptune as kind of the idea of mental genius. And in some ways, that seems kind of counterintuitive, but I think it's because some of those people, they can reach out and grab ideas or manifest ideas that other people think, oh my God, you're just nuts. You know, we're talking the Albert Einstein kind of energy. And it's just, you know, so just I'm letting you know that it could be that you'd hear something that day and you go, oh my God, that is just crazy. I remember the first time somebody described a cell phone to me. In fact, somebody had said to me, like in the 70s, you know, there will come a time when we will all walk around with a phone in our pocket. And I said, not me. That's not going to happen. And I literally just said, that guy is crazy. He is just nuts. Well, who's nuts now? You know, he knew exactly what he was talking about. So it could be that something sounds pretty crazy, but it's really kind of mental genius. Somebody being able to really understand how the zeitgeist is going to go in the future. But now here's a couple of other things too. You can imagine that if we're more sensitive, then that's a time when we may want to avoid situations that are going to be really high pressure, like a sales pitch. You know, or being with somebody or around a situation in which we are likely to feel manipulated. So if you have some, you know, reservations about talking to somebody about something or being in a particular situation, then listen to your intuition, because that may be a time when, boy, everything's going to sound perfect. It's going to sound rosy, or maybe it's going to sound terrible. You know, all of a sudden you're believing the world is coming to an end. So once again, just understand that in a sense, this is like a stage play, and Neptune and the sun are going to be putting on this big production. And so what are you going to feel? What are you going to see? You might experience it like a stage play in New York and go, oh my gosh, that was just like the most incredible experience. I was really taken out of myself, you know, but if you don't want to be taken out of yourself, then, you know, do something to make sure it doesn't happen, because we can be more gullible or vulnerable and in some ways a little less discerning, because once again, we're just going with it. It sounds wonderful, you know, or it sounds horrible, and we're just not using our rational mind to be really discerning. We're more being swept away. Now, on the same, you know, hand, we can also have increased sensitivity that really makes us, maybe we feel totally overwhelmed. You know, maybe we feel really, really stressed. So once again, do something ahead of time to make sure that you can limit that from happening. Don't overbook, or don't just throw yourself into the fray if you can avoid it. And also, as I suggested before, because of this being watery energy, and, you know, think about what it's like to be swimming or sailing, you have to take advantage of the conditions. You know, the ocean is bigger than us. The wind is bigger than us. So in some ways, we may be less disciplined, less organized, structured, and, you know, through this week or through Wednesday specifically. So keep that in mind. You know, if you need to do something very, very specific, something very, very structured, then maybe Wednesday is not the best time to do it. Now, here's another thing to think about. It is possible that even the most confident people will all of a sudden feel a little, you know, vulnerable and feel like their confidence is eroding. Well, think about it. Here's all this water. And what does water do? It can even wear away a rock. So if you just have this momentary, like, you know, where are my feet? I don't even have them underneath me. Or, boy, that never seemed to scare me before. Just recognize that might be the sun being under the influence of Neptune. We're also during this time period very attracted to things that are very Neptunian, like the arts and music, dance, drama, film, photography, humanitarian efforts and causes. So there again, it could be a really good time to be involved in some humanitarian, you know, efforts. But if you're also this person, you go, oh, you're going to open your checkbook and just pour it all out. And you go, oops, what did I do? Just know we're under the influence. In fact, that's a way to look at Wednesday and, you know, this week in general. We're under the influence. And so try to make sure that the influence that you're under is a good one, okay? Because on a practical level, we really are connecting to an inner voice and we're more connected to our intuition and psychic abilities. And in fact, we may consciously want to channel our creativity or practice a spiritual discipline or to really feel some of those higher, what I call higher qualities like kindness or compassion, empathy and generosity. But there's no doubt about it. This is a week for big dreams. Okay. And I want to mention that a couple of people that I put in this category, Bill Gates was born with the sun conjunct Neptune. Now, if I remember right, it's out of sign, meaning like one of the, you know, the sun is at the very end of one sign and Neptune's at the very beginning of the next one. So if you happen to look at his chart, go, those aren't conjunct. They are, because they're still very, very, very close in astrological space, but they're a little bit different. And, you know, when you think about Bill Gates, I mean, of course, I think of all the computers and I think of very mental, mental, mental. But even I found a quote of his that he says, often you have to rely on intuition. Now, that's the sun conjunct Neptune coming through. And it's interesting because Steve Jobs didn't have sun conjunct Neptune, but he had sun trine Neptune, which means his sun was highly influenced by that planet. And he has a quote, have the courage to follow your heart and your intuition. They somehow already know what you truly want to become. Everything else is secondary. And then I also have a quote by Louis Pasteur, you know, the whole pasteurization guy, right? He did have sun conjunct Neptune very, very, very close. I mean, like literally like right on top of each other. Now, his was in Capricorn. And he says, science knows no country because knowledge belongs to humanity. And it is the torch which illuminates the world. So I thought that was a really nice manifestation of this kind of energy. Okay, now we are going to move on. And we're going to look a little bit at the spring equinox, sun moving into Aries, first sign of the zodiac, beginning of the astrological new year. And it's going to be interesting. I think Thursday, when this happens, I think it is going to be kind of a bright, really interesting day. And we may even notice that the energy just feels completely different because we got a lot of fire that day. Now, it doesn't mean the water is completely gone, but now we have the sun in Aries, a fire sign. The moon will have moved into Sagittarius, another fire sign. And fire is related astrologically to the spirit and the will, and it's action-oriented and it thrives on inspiration. One of my favorite sayings about fire is when you've got that kind of energy in the universe, when you've got it in your chart, you want to be inspired and you want to inspire the world. That word is huge. And when you think about it, inspiration, its basis is to breathe in or to be breathed in by God or the divine, to inspire, to breathe it all in. And so that's a huge word or concept whenever we're talking about fire energy, you know, in the cosmos anyway. So it's about wanting to be motivated, wanting to be inspired. And sometimes it's like a flickering flame of a candle, and sometimes it's much more spectacular. But either way, have some respect for fire because it's mostly unpredictable. Now, Aries is one of the four cardinal signs. That means it's at the very beginning of a season. So when the sun is in Aries, you know, the energy is innovative and active and direct and purposeful. By the way, happy birthday to all of you with sun in Aries, or those of you who have lots of Aries planets. You're probably going to like this time and maybe even feel like you're being swept off your feet, but not by water. You're just being swept off your feet into this inspirational energy. These kinds of that cardinal energy, by the way, it's motivated to be movers and shakers, initiators at the beginning. We want to be in the front of the line. In fact, Aries very much wants to be at the front, and they want to have partners. They want people going along with them, but they're going to do it on their own and they'll expect other people to follow them, but they're going to do it on their own if they can't get somebody to do it with them. This is the opposite sign of Libra. And so there again, I say, you know, Aries loves to have a partner, but they're going to go it alone if that partner isn't on board with what they want. And when you think about the archetypes for Aries, you know, this very passionate kind of energy, I want to take a risk. I want to act even in the face of fear. Well, the archetypes for Aries are the ram. You know, think about, you know, the ram with its horns and leading with the head. And this is something that's funny. It's one of those little, I don't know if you call it an idiom or something true about Aries. A lot of times people with a lot of Aries, they lead with their heads. Even when they're walking down their street, you see they're leaning forward with their head in front of their body. You know what I'm talking about? And when I see that, I always think it's kind of funny because you can just imagine that ram with its horns. They're just like attacking life and they don't even know they're doing it. But they're walking and they've got their head in front. That's usually a person with a lot of Aries energy. Another archetype for Aries is the warrior, the pioneer, the daredevil, the survivor. And I mentioned that one because, you know, when you put yourself out there, when you take the risk, when you're willing to be the front person on the line, you know, stuff happens, but they've got the tenacity to be the survivor. Now, the other thing that we associate with Aries is the fool. And mostly because this is the risk taker. This is the child in a sense. You know, sometimes you see Aries kind of, you know, really manifesting as a child who says, I can do anything. And they usually do until somebody tells them it's impossible. But if they don't believe it's impossible, they continue on. So it's a very youthful, you know, exciting kind of energy of being the fool. Now, it can also be the fool in the more negative way of, you know, taking risks that just aren't necessary, risks that you just don't need to take. So, you know, that's all Aries. You know, it's Jason and the Argonauts, because a lot of the myths that are associated with Aries are things like that. Individuals who are going out looking for individual identity, looking for self-awareness and purpose. So there's lots of different myths that are associated, but that's one that you're going to see. Sometime if you want to look up the sun god Ra, R-A, that's a myth that's associated with Aries as well. You'll also see issues with, you know, father archetypes and authority figures, because as you can imagine, Aries says, I'm going. I don't need anybody to lead the way. I'm going here. And so if you've got a lot of that kind of energy, or as kids have that energy, the father, you know, that, and here again, I'm not saying a man, I'm saying the father archetype, that kind of energy of authority may go, hey, wait a minute, you're not going to ram those, you know, horns up against me. You know, you're going to fall in line. So other things to think about, that the planet that rules Aries is Mars. Mars is the warrior. Mars is motivation. I'm ready to go. I'm inspired. And the tarot card that is specifically associated with Aries is the Emperor. Now, in some ways, I've always thought that was, you know, I have to really think about it, because the Emperor structures his world. The Emperor takes charge and says, this is how we're going to do it. The Emperor can be disciplined. And structure and organization. All those things sound a whole lot like Saturn, and they sound a whole lot like Capricorn. But Aries is the Emperor in the Tarot. And if we kind of just study that and learn about it, we realize, you know, in the Aries world, we need meaningful productivity. We need something to do. We need to have a goal. We need to be involved in competition. We need to be able to prove ourselves and have courage. And you don't just have courage, you know, all by yourself. You have courage when you go up against somebody or something and you prove yourself as worthy. Courage is in the face of fear. So even though that kind of sounds a little Capricornian and it sounds a little Saturn, I'm not saying it's not, it's very much Mars saying, I'm gonna throw myself in here. I'm gonna take the risk, I'm gonna do it. So here's an idea, though, that I also want to throw out about the concept or the archetype of being a warrior, because this is something that almost sounds counterintuitive. Contrary to what we think, being a warrior is not about dominating or defeating other people or even the environment. I think something we kind of lose sight of is the way you ascend the throne of the Emperor is the person who is in a process of greater self-awareness, self-examination, and self-improvement. You become the warrior more on an internal level and by kind of competing with yourself, competing with your former or your weaker self, not with outside forces. Now, I think it's easy to project it and just say, yeah, there's a warrior beating up everybody or somehow dominating the world or dominating other people. But the true warrior kind of stands in their power and their authority. That's what they do. So I want you to think about that. Because like I said, I think sometimes I just lose sight of what that really means. The strong person, the warrior, is really the person who knows themselves. They have worked through some of those lessons of self-awareness and self-improvement, and they continue in a process of self-examination. So if we aspire to be warriors, if we aspire to the warrior energy, boy, especially when I think about Neptune and Saturn later this year moving into Aries, I'd like us to move that direction, where this is about improving ourselves, not improving the world, not improving everybody else, not changing them, not, you know, making ourselves dominant and making everybody fall in line, but it's about doing that to ourselves, improving ourselves. And that, to me, maybe is one of the most precious, the most treasured energies associated with Aries when we're willing to take it. This is a very confident and willful sign, and it is mostly fearless, often impatient. It's headstrong, audacious. It's looking for action. But one of its gifts is the motivation to move through inactivity, slowness, sleepiness, heaviness, winter. You know, there again, we're breaking up the power of winter, and we're sweeping away feelings of dullness or passivity, apathy, or boredom. So I want you to just think about that. And here again, we're going to continue to talk about Aries, because it's not just the sun in Aries. We're now going to have, like I said, Neptune, and then eventually Saturn sitting in Aries in the not too distant future. So as we talk about this, spring is a time for defrosting, warming things up, you know, looking at how we're going to handle things in the future. This is about growing ourselves, you know, pulling that Aries energy within ourselves. So we will continue to talk about it in the weeks ahead. But I'm going to give you this quote that I think is very Arian. And this quote is by William Shakespeare, or, you know, it's in one of his plays, and it says, it is not in the stars to hold our destiny, but in ourselves. So there again, that seems very, very Aries. And of course, I have some wonderful quotes by many Sun and Aries. We're not going to get to those today. And they're so good, I don't want to just sweep them under the rug. So we will talk about those next week, maybe when we start talking about Neptune in Aries. But remember, we got some great stuff going on this week. And there are other things going on this week that are pretty great. So I hope that you will consult Mark's Power Peak, because then you can read every single day and see what's going on. You'll know where the moon is, and you'll know at least my take on what the energy of that day looks like. You know, just some suggestions. And remember that, you know, we all take it all very differently. So I'm just giving you my suggestions from my experience and intuition about what I think those days are going to look like. And if it's helpful, please read it. I'd love for you to do that. So sign up, you know, for Mark's Power Peak at 12listen.com, or you can go to 12house.com and also get a link to the Power Peak, and then read it every week. All right, so we do need to close the show. I thank you so much for coming. Hey, and to all those people in the chat room, thanks. I know I had it sitting up, but I didn't shout out to you guys. And thanks for being there today. Pamela, I see you. And boy, I'll tell you what, though, this Facebook, the way they do it, they hide so many of the comments, and then I don't see them. But thanks for being here, Leslie and James and Patricia and Pamela. So thank you so much. And I will look at all these comments before I kind of wrap everything up today. But we are wrapping it up. So thanks for being here. I really do appreciate it. It just feels great to have such a wonderful community where we can share these ideas. And thanks to my producer, Serena. I hope that you will stay tuned for Empowerment with Kelly Whetstone coming up next. This is the Boundary Lady. This is the woman who can teach you about really positive and constructive use of boundaries. And I guess that's it. So this is CA signing out. You will find me on 12listen.com. If you don't see me as available, please just ask for a callback. You just get onto the system, and or you ask for a scheduled call at a time that's good for you. I love those scheduled calls, if only because then I can have your chart ready. I can literally just be all ready for you when you call, and I can make sure the dog's been out in the yard. He's not going to bug us. He's not going to interrupt us. So if that's something that works for you, great. If not, just find me on 12listen.com, where I have lots of sales, especially with all this stuff going on. So come find me there. You have been listening to Everyday Astrology with C.A. Brooks on 12 Radio, where we are changing the way we think about and experience Aries.